Hey team, it's Mon, and this is How's Your Head, an extension of the health classes you missed where I check in with everyday people and ask that very simple question. How's your head? We'll open up the conversation, break down the stigma, and inspire you to check in with the people that you care about. Let's go. A quick disclaimer here, guys. No one in these episodes is a mental health professional. If you are struggling with your mental health, please contact Lifeline on 131114 today or seek help from your local GP or other mental health professional. Look after yourselves. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. Another episode of How's Your Head? I am on my third of the year. I have been organized. I am an organized girl this year. I know that everyone listening last year was like, Monica, what is going on? Why did you finish so early? I'm sure everyone was asking, you know, everyone just missed it so much. But no, this year I said to myself, I'm going to actually put some episodes in the bank. I'm going to have some episodes ready to go. And that is what I have done. And I'm so bloody happy about it. Just a reminder as well, if you are listening, please make sure you are following wherever you are listening. You have rated it, preferably 5 stars, minimum 4. Don't give me 1, please. I'll be sad. But please rate, follow, and also come and follow me on Instagram at the health classes you missed as well. Anyway, to get into today's episode, I have a fellow teacher friend and also almost fellow podcaster.
Soon to be
fellow podcaster, which is very, very exciting for you. Again, I did another call out, which I need to do this and actually follow through with it, right? Because I get so many people messaging me. Please, 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 if you are listening and you are thinking, I have something to say and I want to come on a podcast, just send me a message. I love it. I really, really love it. I really want every single person who wants to come on to come on. So please make sure you do that. But thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
For coming on today, for taking your time, Amelia, to come and hang out with me. Do you have a nickname? Like, do you just call say Mill?
Mill,
okay,
yeah.
I'm going to say Mill.
Yeah, say Mill.
Thank you so much, Mill.
Fast friends.
Yes, no, I need to do it. You also come to pretty much every Run Clubby event too.
Yes,
For those of you who don't know, the studio that I work at, which you should if you've listened before, if you're new, here's some information. I work at a studio that we're currently in and we do Run Clubby and there are events where we run.
Fun.
And it's fun. And you have come to every one of them so far, which I am so, so happy about as well. So thank you for coming in today. Thank you for coming to Run Clubby. How's your head?
My head is good. It's holidays, so it is quite clear.
Yes, we love
calm before the storm. But being a teacher, I feel like we need a goal. We need structure. Mm. I very much need structure. So I think that I need to start to kind of set up my intentions for the year. I've been a little lazy. Yeah. I have not done that. I intended to do it probably in the last week of last year. And then what day is it?
Well, you've got to relax, you know, you've got to turn off.
It's good. It's been lovely to just relish the summer.
Yeah.
Yes. And just the downtime, the balance.
Yeah.
It's been good. It's been very good. Lots of socializing.
Well, I feel like you honestly, like I know you said, oh, I've been lazy, but like, for reference, like I'm a high school teacher, you're a primary school teacher. You guys work, I don't want to be like, you guys work way harder, but like honestly, your year is way longer than ours.
It is.
Yeah, it's you didn't finish till like the 20th or something with students.
We had kids until that last Run Clubby.
Wow.
So,
see,
yes.
That's a
it's
lot.
It's the treadmill. I always say it's like an interval training. You're on the treadmill, you're sprinting, and then you just step off your little 2-week holidays, and then you're back again.
Back on the treadmill.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't even know how you end the year with students still in the classroom. Like, I actually, it doesn't make sense in my head. For reference as well, we high school teachers, usually the kids are gone like a week and a bit before we actually finish up. So we've got like a full week just to chill and like sort out our year for the next year, wrap up everything that we need to wrap up. But like you guys have to do that at the same time, right?
It is.
Because do you finish the actual year on the 20th?
Actual year.
Wow.
So actual kids. I was reading Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone because we needed to finish it by the end of the year.
Oh my
so
God.
My last day was not playing games, was not doing any cleaning. It was reading. We had about 2 chapters to go.
Oh my God.
And you've only got, you know, a short amount of time with the kids because they finish at 1:30. So we were powering through that book. I was doing all the voices, but it was fun. It was very good. And now I have a classroom that I need to set up, and it's the school opened today, so maybe I should head there after this.
Okay, so yeah, how early do you normally go in?
As soon as it opens, I'll try and spend a few days just setting up, because every year of my career I've moved classrooms. I've never stayed in the same classroom
for hard.
A full year, even sometimes mid-year, just swap classrooms. So I try to head in because I'm very much someone who likes to feel ready for everything. So you know, you're kind of doing your laminating and everything at home, and then you go in and you just set it all up. But I kind of give 2 or 3 days of the holidays. But just the good thing is it's when it works for you. So I go away this Wednesday, which is probably not the best timing because school only opened today. But it kind of does force you to have a break, because I think otherwise I'd be tempted to just dip in kind of as much as possible. But
isn't that crazy, even that difference, right? Like, high school teachers don't really have a classroom. Sometimes, like, there's like a block of classrooms that you get, but it's not just your classroom. Like, everyone else is coming in and out of that space as well. There's like a million other health lessons being taught in that one room. And it's great because you can put up stuff on the walls and you can make it really lovely, but it is nothing compared to what you guys do. Like, the fact that you set up everything so it's there, it's ready for you, it's, you know, it's funny how different it is.
It is. It actually is very... Yeah, it's very different. And there's very much, we kind of have to set up a space that the kids can walk into and feel like they're part of it already. So seeing their names, we kind of get them to do a bit of work in like the transition sessions, the year before, and just having them walking into that room and going, oh my gosh, there's my All About Me poster.
Yeah,
and
see, that's everything. Cute. That's
so nice. It feels like their space, because that's what it needs to be. Yeah. It needs to be their space for the year.
Kudos to you, because I'm just thinking, like, I spend most of my time in the stadium and I'm like, well, you know, like, as long as the games are set up, I'm pretty good to go, you know? Like, as long as I know where everything is, it's like, yeah, cool. See you on the first day back, everyone.
Yeah.
It's weird this year, actually, for those of you who are listening a long time as well, you'll know, I'm part-time, right? And so, like, the first day back technically is not a work day for me, but then I'm like, that's just for the teachers, right? But I'm like, wow, I just feel like I'm not going to know what is going on.
That is true. Actually, we do have the first 2 days without kids, which is nice.
That's really nice.
But it is odd. You kind of just walk in, and you could theoretically, if you weren't moving classrooms, you could finish on the 20th of December and then walk in on the 30th of January and be like, well,
it's pretty set up.
This is
where
we're doing this, which is weird. I couldn't do it, but I know some people do.
Well, that's like, that's basically what I do.
Yeah.
I haven't been in any earlier than that first day back really ever. And I mean, that in saying that, right, like, it's not like you're not doing stuff at home. You're making a lot of stuff. You're doing stuff. But yeah, it's not like physically we don't have to set up that much. That's such a massive difference, I think, is like, it's just for you and resources and stuff, but it's not necessarily like a space that you are creating for the students. That's kind of done. Like, or it happens throughout the year with posters on the wall and whatever work that they do. But again, people are coming in and out. So it's like, well, you have to share it with a million other people.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, wild. Anyway, teacher chat for those. There might be some more of that, just FYI, throughout this episode. But we're going to pull it back to the mental health stuff. I feel like we could have those conversations for so long.
Exactly.
What do you do for your mental health day today?
So I start every day with a walk with the dog.
Oh, I love that.
Being outside.
Walk to wake up.
A walk to wake up.
Yeah.
Honestly, limber up the old bod.
The old bod. How old are you?
32.
Yeah, great.
But honestly, it's such a nice, that's a non-negotiable. That is, probably more because the dog forces me up. But it's so nice to just know that you're going to start the day, even if it's raining, even if it's a miserable looking day, you're outside. I think that's the biggest thing that I'm grateful for with that part of the routine. Routine is actually a big part of mental health for me, obviously. I know I said that holidays are nice because you're not in routine and you're clear, but I do thrive off knowing what's happening, knowing, like, I've got my exercise scheduled in for the week. I've got my social plans set in for the week. I, you know, my housemate, I have everything written up on the fridge that is every day what all of my plans are, because I need to know what's happening. And I need, I guess, the household to know.
Yeah.
Because I freak out about, I get anxious about, I don't know, people not knowing where I am or not knowing where other people are. And yes, so that's a big
such
one.
Such a teacher thing, though, isn't it?
Such a teacher thing.
You're literally breaking your life up into your periods throughout the day. And that's what you do. But I think that's really, really cool, because it is hard not being in routine. Like even that weird week between Christmas and New Year's, I am a very early riser normally. And I was staying up really late, which is weird for me as well. And then, like, even now, I'm feeling, because I was like a week straight of me going to bed late, waking up a little bit later, I haven't been able to get back into waking up at my normal, like, 5:30.
Yeah.
At all. Like, I'm literally snoozing every alarm. And it's just, it makes it so much harder. So I think even keeping a few little consistent things without, you know, not relaxing at all, obviously, you want to make sure that you are switching off. But yeah, I think that routine thing throughout, even that break, just to keep like a couple things is still important.
Hey. Absolutely agree. Also the exercise, I think that I need to be moving, because then if I'm exercising, I'll feel good about myself.
Yes.
Whether or not that comes out physically, I feel like I probably don't change all that much, but I need to be consistently running maybe 2 to 3 times a week, or well, I hurt my ankle, so now it's cycling.
Triathlete.
Or I can't swim. I'm a terrible swimmer.
You can't until you do it, right? You
such a Melbourne girl. Cannot swim. But yeah, it's finding, keeping myself active. That makes me feel as though I'm on top of things, even if I'm not. And I almost don't consider the morning walks with the dog. He's a Cocker Spaniel. It's not fast. It's not long.
So
it's just that's just the kind of almost a stretch out, I guess. I need to do something that is structured kind of exercise, runs or Pilates or whichever.
Love that. Love that. I feel that too. Like I, for so long, have been one of those people, actually since COVID, where I'm like, oh, I can work out from home. And then 2022, biggest year of my life, lots happened. My workout routine went in the toilet. I was full-time working for the first time ever as well. So it was just like all of that. Last year, I got obviously back into running, blah, 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 blah. And then this year, I'm like, oh, I'm going to join a gym again, because I need to just have a space where I work out. It's hard at home to stay motivated when the couch is right round the corner.
I found the same thing in COVID. I bought all this workout stuff from home, and then I was seeing a physio, and he was like, why aren't you doing the program? What can I do to make it easier? And I was like, open gyms?
Yeah.
Because I actually just cannot motivate myself. I'd have like a great playlist and think it was so great, but I just,
it's hard.
The couch is there. There's
just hard to continue. Like I can probably do like 20 to 30 minutes max, whereas at the gym I can spend like a real solid hour and a bit where I'm taking my time. I'm just going through what I want to do.
Yep.
I can have like the days where I'm doing what I'm doing. And I know you can do it at home, but it's just so much harder.
Yeah.
And I think even joining the gym, I was like, oh, but I could just save my money, right? I could save my money and just keep doing stuff at home. But then it's like, bloody hell, it's actually worth spending your money on going to the gym.
It's so worth it. I think
that is what it's worth.
Yes, yeah. Sometimes we spend money on ridiculous things. But
ooh,
I do not think the gym is one of those things. It's also me time.
Yes.
I find that the gym is my time. I know some people work out with other people and that's great. I went through like my F45 era. Ooh,
didn't we all?
and that, people would have their kind of buddies and their accountability buddies, their kind of cultish vibes.
I'm like, yes, I think we can say that about but, allegedly.
Yes, but I went by myself and I was like, I don't want to worry about other people. I'm only being accountable to myself. This is me time. I mean, now I just walk to the gym, but like I would drive to F45 and then do it, or I'd drive to Pilates or whichever, run clubby. And it's like my time.
Yeah.
And yeah, going to the gym, it's me, headphones in, not thinking about other people. Mm. I don't lift heavy enough to need a spotter. So so that's fine. But I think that, yeah, you just – gyms are different to doing it at home.
Yeah, it's – no, I agree. I'm like a bit of both. Like I like going with someone. Like a few of my friends have joined the same gym, but I also just like putting your headphones in, not having to consider anyone else. And also like the gym, for some reason at home, I kept going on my phone, whereas at the gym, I don't go on my phone as much. Yes. I don't know what it is. It's like people are watching you too. Well, not really. Yeah. Like that sounds weird, right? But like people are there. You don't want to just be that guy like sitting on a bench while someone might be waiting for it and you're just like yes. taking ages on something, you know? So it's like you have to just get through it, get through your workout. There's other people to consider. But yeah, oh, I don't know. Anyway, yeah. If you're one of those people that was working out from home and thinking, I don't need to pay for a gym membership, but then you found yourself like me or like us yeah. being like, it's not really working anymore, just go bloody join the gym.
Do it.
Don't think about saving your money for a pointless thing because it's worth investing in that.
It's and investing you know in you.
Yeah, it is. And also swindle them a bit, right? Because you can get better memberships than they Definitely. Offer. Have a little chat. Yes. It's so funny because anyone who knows me listening to this would be like, okay, like as if I would, I'm like the, I can't even deal with any kind of, and it's not even confrontation, but like, yeah. I'm like, yeah, okay, sure, I'll take that.
I know, me
$8 million, great, I'll transfer you right now. But you can yes. get better.
Bring someone with you.
Bring someone, if you're someone that can handle that, do it because you can, if you're worried about money, like you actually can save more money.
I genuinely had to make my dad come with me to join my first gym because yeah. he was like, you know what, I've been a member at this Good Life for this long and you know you're going to give my daughter a good deal. I was like, thank you, Dad.
You need someone there to like yeah, really, maybe yeah. that can be a resolution for 2024 is being a little bit more assertive.
Yeah.
That's scary.
It's oh, scary. Yes, that is very scary.
All right. I want to know someone or a relationship that you're grateful for in your life.
There's a lot. Because I'm very much relationships person.
Yeah.
I think that's why I do the job that I do. Mm-hmm. It's like I need to be connected to people. I'm very close with my family. So I'm the oldest by a lot.
You're really
by
young
9 years.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Yeah, yes. That is quite a big gap.
We do have a big gap.
There you go.
But we've got the same parents. I'm sure
people ask you that all the time, right?
But then you see my brother and I and you're like, yeah. no.
Blood relation.
Very much from the same. So I think that that's made me very close with my parents, mm-hmm. having that, you know, I was their only child and feeling like I had to be the only child. Mm-hmm. But then when I got my brother and my sister, I was like, oh, they're just the best.
Yeah.
But I do have friends that feel like family. So one of my best friends lives in London, which is sad, but also it's one of those friendships where honestly, I think she's lived there for maybe 4 years now.
Yeah, wow.
But she comes back every year or I've been to Europe and it's like no time has passed. You just, you sink back into that kind of comfort with each other. They are absolutely friends that feel like family. She's a friend that I met and we were bang. Instant friendships. Our friend that introduced us to each other gets quite jealous. He's like, wait a second. Like,
yeah. How did this happen?
You are my friend and you are my friend. You guys are catching up without me. Not okay. Not okay at all. Yep. So I guess, that's one friend that I have. Yeah, is like a sisterhood, I guess. Mm. I've got another friend who I have probably known for a similar amount of time, about 10 years. More than that. COVID years.
Oh, they don't count. They don't count. I'm 24 years old, so.
I keep saying I'm 2 years off 30.
Yeah, because I am. Fair enough. Yeah,
it's just 2 years off it. Mm. Just past it. But it's
like details.
Details. I don't feel it at all. My friend Laura is very much a person who will just kind of cut through the rubbish that I think is just very much honest with me in a good way.
Yeah.
And not in a bad way, but just in a kind of mill, cut it out. Like you are all of these great things or no, this is a flaw of yours. Mm. And we can have conversations and we know that neither of us will judge each other.
Yeah.
Always. It's just completely out on the table and it's so good. It's so nice to have those friends that are like your sisters.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I love that. I really, really love that. I think that like the time passing and not feeling any different thing is so important. I felt that mainly with my friends who I've been friends with forever. And it's like, it just doesn't matter, does it? And that's really comforting as well, because one of my best friends is about to move to London this year. And I keep thinking like, obviously so happy. So happy for this person and like so stoked for them and want them to go and live their life. But also in my heart, I'm like, oh, I'm like, I'm actually devastated. Right? Like I'm going to be so sad because it's like used to seeing the person most weeks. And sometimes like, you know, this is one of the people I'm going to gym with now. So I'm like, well, I see all the bloody time. Like it's, we live like 2 bloody minutes away from each other and then they go. How did you deal with it at the start? Actually help me out because honestly, I'm going to be like, I'm actually, me and my other friend, like there's 3 of us. And like, I just think we're going to be like sitting there really, really bloody sad for a while.
I mean, I live very close to her parents and I remember just driving home, just crying because it's that, it's the fact that like you catch up with that person and it's not a big deal. Mm. Like you just kind of can sit around and eat past, or you can like, I would go to their family dinner and it's like you're part of the family and it just doesn't matter. And then I was like, that's not going to happen anymore. Like I can't do that. What? Which is, that was probably like the hardest thing, but I would go to her parents' house for dinner.
Oh, that's so cute.
But also at that point in time, I was going to move to London. So it was
so
a,
you had a bit more
we're
of like
moving.
A, yeah.
Like it's all
so why
good.
Didn't you move?
COVID. So I was supposed to move on the 14th of April, 2020.
Right.
Yes.
Do you think you're ever going to do that?
No, because I'm not British. So, and I'm not. Oh, actually, I think I could.
You're on 3 years.
In terms of age. But I think I just need to probably settle here. Actually, one of
You've got your puppy as well now.
I know.
Right?
I know. That's
You've got Rudy.
Mum's like, you can move.
Your mum's like, I will steal that dog.
She's like, Rudy will stay here. He'll be fine. So I don't think I will. I think that I've got enough of a base here that I don't think I'll move there. I actually, Claude and Joe, her boyfriend, were like, we want to move back here.
Okay. So oh, well, that's good.
So Joe is British and he's like, I love this. This is so nice. So I think that, yeah, I just...
They'll be home before you can even...
Yeah, grandparents and everything as
well. Yeah, I've thought about that too. It's hard, like, I think about my nieces. I'm like, I can't leave them. I couldn't leave them.
Exactly. They're, they're only going to be little ones.
I know, exactly. Also, the friend that's a bit of that tough love.
Yes.
I think that is so important as well.
Yeah.
Right? Because you do... or like, everyone needs someone in their life that will... call them out every now and again in the nicest way possible, but we'll just let them know like, no, you're being silly or no, you know, you're being ridiculous or this is how you should be dealing with this situation. You're, you know, being emotional or you're, you know, your head's too far in this and take a step back and think about it, right? Like you, everyone needs one of those people to be like, hey, I'm going to be the voice of reason. I'm going to be the devil's advocate for a second and just say, oh, you could be wrong here.
Yes. And sometimes they're even the angel's advocate. Like, if that's a thing, sometimes I think that we can be so critical of ourselves.
So true. Yeah.
And I know that going back to uni, I was like, I can't do this. Like, this is, it was just that last semester, the last kind of project. I was like, I don't think I can do this. This is the hurdle that I cannot get over. And Laura was like, yes, you can. Like, why? You just need to kind of sit in it. You just need to sit in the fact that it's really hard to begin with and you just need to wrap your head around it and you need to realise that it's not necessarily going to be perfect the first time you do it because I can be quite a perfectionist. Yeah. But she's like, just give it, like you need to just go through this. You need to just give it a go. So I think that sometimes Laura will be a bit of a cheerleader when I can be a critic.
Yeah. Oh, I love
which
that.
Which is... really good. I think that sometimes any of my like self-esteem, I'm like, oh, I have Laura to thank for that because I was probably not recognizing good things in myself that other people were.
Yeah.
Which is, very nice.
It's really nice. Okay. I want to talk quickly. I know we've already had some teacher chat.
Yes.
But I want to talk to you about kind of taking care of your mental health as a teacher. Because I don't know about you. Personally for me, I get home from some days, and because you're around a million people every day, right? Even you more so probably because I don't know. I just feel like you would have them in the classroom more often. Yeah. Like, I don't know about breaks for you. Anyway.
Yeah.
Like, you're seeing and talking to and blah, 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 hundreds of people.
Yeah.
A day sometimes. Classes of, you know, 27 kids, and you've got that five times a day. It's like,
and
whoa.
They're at you.
Yes. And they're asking you questions, and yeah. there's this and that, and they're coming to see you at lunchtime and blah, 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 blah. And I know sometimes I'm like, oh my God, I just don't even want to be social, or I don't want to talk to anyone after a week or a day sometimes, right? How do you help yourself kind of unwind? First of all, do you experience that too? Or is that, you know, I feel like it is something that a lot of teachers experience, but what is your experience with it? And then how do you deal with that? Being like quite an extroverted person, I've gathered.
Yeah,
right?
I'm pretty extroverted.
Yeah.
But then I guess, well, for starters, yes, we are around people constantly. Mm. And I've never been a high school teacher, so I don't know, but I feel like also the kids are just constantly at us. They're just so needy. They are, because
they're a lot needy when they're younger though.
Yeah,
aren't they?
I teach year three, like they're 8 or 9.
They're little
and they
babies.
Need me. You know, lot in 2023, one of the girls in my class had type 1 diabetes. So every day, 12:30, I was doing her insulin. But then something might happen elsewhere in the classroom and you're like, oh my gosh, sorry, I need to be doing this. This is a life or death kind of thing.
This is a priority.
Can you please
right
just hold off on the vomit? Not quite that, but you know, like they're very at you constantly. I found that I would often at lunchtime or recess just not leave my classroom. And I would say, like my colleague would say, oh, why don't you come over and whichever? And I'm like, I just need to have some time to myself where I can just listen to a podcast in my room. Like I might be still having sounds or whichever, or doing things, but it's not having to kind of engage with people. Yeah. So I very much will find that at the end of the day, I need to just have some me time. And it's the same thing kind of with that routine thing. Get home from work and it's walk the dog and I'm by myself. And sometimes it's a good thing that, you know, you don't have plans that night, because you might just sit there. And I would sometimes feel a little bit antisocial with my housemate, because I'd be like, I don't want to talk. I don't really, you know, need to just decompress the day. I would just put my headphones in and do uni. Mm. And sometimes, honestly, I wouldn't even have sound, but I'd be like, I just need to just not talk to someone.
Yeah.
And that sounds so rude. Or sometimes I would actually kind of have to flag it with my housemate and say, like, I've just had such a big day. I just really need to unwind a bit. Mm. Or driving to Pilates, I do Pilates in Cremorne. So it's that little drive, just having the me time is absolutely something that I need to have. So I find that as much as I am extroverted, I probably I need to recharge by myself, like in order to keep up the extroversion, which I need to have every day at work.
Yeah.
I need to just
literally do the job.
Yeah. Yeah. I need to just recharge by myself. So I would kind of shut off from people. Mm. There's certain things that I just need to do by myself. I need to walk by myself. I need to exercise by myself. I sometimes on a really tough day, obviously we have tough parents. We can have
probably you more so than me as well.
Yeah.
Right? There's another difference. Not always, but yes.
Yes. Generally. Yeah. I mean, we've got, you know, 25, I think I had 25 in my class last year, 25 people's babies. It's their babies and they want the best of them. And honestly, the parents that I have at this school are amazing. I've not come across a parent that I do not have so much respect for and would be like, we should get a wine. Like, honestly, I'm like, we should be friends.
Yeah.
They are lovely, lovely people and extremely supportive. But sometimes there's bits and pieces that go on, or sometimes you actually can't do what the parent wants you to do. You can't give them the information that you want. And I have my work emails on my phone, which is
get rid of them. I have to go on the actual, like I have to go on Safari and then click in office, because otherwise turned all my Teams notifications off. You literally have to do that. Turn them off. Yeah. We're doing that before you leave here. Okay. Honestly.
Because I will be like on a run and I'll be at the traffic lights. I'm like, I did send that email to a parent. I'll just double check to see if they've responded. And then I'm thinking about that while I'm on my run trying to decompress.
Yeah.
So I think that that's sometimes I just need to take the time, go for a run. I always say if I've had a bad day, whether it be with colleagues or with kids or with parents, that I need to treat myself really well. I'm not the type of person, I will never drink if I've had a bad day.
Yep. Healthy coping strategies.
That is a big rule for me. I will never, ever, ever have a glass of wine at the end of a bad day. I will be like, I need to have a good, healthy meal.
Yeah.
I need to go for a run. I just need to treat myself right, because otherwise I'm just going to feed into that kind of spiral of feeling like shit.
Yeah. I think that's a really good point. Yeah. A really good point. And that's so many people like, oh, I've had a long, hard day. Here's what I'm going to do. But it doesn't make you feel
better.
I mean, and maybe for a time, right? That's something that people do to relax or whatever. But realistically, that's not good for you.
Yeah.
So really making sure that you are taking care of yourself in that, and being like, let's do something really good and productive that's going to make me feel better tomorrow. I love that. That's really good. That's very, very good advice.
No wine, no chocolate, no
none of those things. Oh, my God. I'm like, can't get around that. Sorry, I'm editing that out.
But then sometimes when it's a good day, I'm like, ooh, I should just
make it like a treat, not a something to make you, you know, sit in your kind of self-pity.
Exactly.
Yes. Might sound a little bit harsh. Oh, my God. Okay, I'm going to say this on the record. We have just been laughing because I had two interviews today. And the first one was more of a question of gender identity. Actually, you know what? It will have already been out by the time this comes out, I believe. So this is the one with M. And it was, if anyone's listened to that episode, it's more about, like, the questions were just different, right? They were just different. I was asking about gender identity. It was a really important conversation. But then I've accidentally copied these to you. And you have actually been like, oh yeah, like maybe we're just talking about gender identity now. Like that's fine, when it literally had nothing to do with our convo. Anyway, oh my God, this is so funny.
Oh my gosh.
You just went along with that and didn't even question the fact that I'm like asking you about youth work. You're like, yeah, that kind of makes sense to teaching. God, okay. That is really funny. That is actually, I can't believe that I've done that. I'm really sorry. So anyway, now we're going to have some surprise questions.
Yay.
First one is, I can't believe I've done that. Oh my God, sweating. I can't believe you just didn't even question me. I can't believe I didn't reread it. Wow. Here's a life lesson for 2024. Double check things.
Yes.
And for you, question it when it doesn't make sense. Be assertive. Don't know,
like,
more
okay,
people pleasing.
Just make it work.
It must be like, wow, these are like really quite, like some of them aren't really what we spoke about previously, but that's fine. I'll just
I was like, oh, this must be How's Your Head 2024. It's just a new approach.
I call teaching youth work now. Like, I mean, it's similar. They're youths. Bloody hell. Okay. Anyway, what advice would you give your 18-year-old self? Here's a question. All the thinking time in the world for you, because, I'm springing these on you now.
Biggest thing I would say is don't forget who you are. So obviously 18, you are beginning to meet. You're exposed to heaps of new people through uni and starting work and everything. But never, obviously you're kind of, you can be influenced by people, which is can be a good thing, can be a bad thing. And I think that we need to kind of have that experimental stage. You're like getting used to what you're comfortable with,
taking
what
a
you're
few
not,
risks.
What you're not comfortable with, but don't forget the things that make you you. Keep your identity. I was in a relationship for over 6 years, and I reckon I went to 3 footy games in that whole time.
Yeah.
I now go at least once a weekend.
Okay.
Well, it's
Love
not footy
that.
Season. But
when the main seasons are on.
And that was like, going to sport is a big thing. For me, it's been a massive thing part of my identity since I was little was going to the footy with my dad, and going to the footy with my dad was something I actually hated growing up. Like, I
so
really,
did I. Because he yelled a lot.
And I wanted my colouring books. I was like, I don't understand this game.
Yeah.
And Dad's like, Mill, just watch the next goal. Just look at the ball the whole time. Just look at the ball and you'll get it. And I was like, okay, can we get some chips? Can I get a badge? Like, I want my Richo badge.
Yeah.
Like, I want all the fringe benefits of going to the footy. But then at some point that switched, and it was this kind of quality time with my dad. And then when my brother came along, my sister's still not super into it.
She's not there yet.
Yeah. She did go to the grand final, but, you know.
Wow. God. Good on her.
But that kind of, it's what it represents, not so much the game. And I think that now I will still go basically every weekend, because I say it's free. It's not free when you pay $800 for a membership.
No, it's free. Girl math, it's free.
Girl math, I'm a big fan of that. but now it's that I will text my friends. Everyone's kind of MCC, which is great because it's that way of connecting with people.
Mm.
So it's kind of gone from something that was just me connecting with my dad or doing something that a good little daughter would do to now, like, a big part of my identity is going to the footy. Not for, I'm not making big calls. I honestly probably prefer going when Richmond isn't playing because
it's less stressful.
I'm so stressed when we're playing. But it's about just being there with people. And I think that being part of my identity is something that I would say don't lose track of, like, what makes you you.
All the things that make you happy.
Yeah.
And so did you stop going because of the person you were dating, right? They just didn't like footy or?
Yeah. He was from Perth, but I think Perth people like footy. I don't know. He didn't. He was not from that family. Like, my family is very much a sport family.
Yeah.
Very much a team sport family. Non-negotiables for Delaney's is you have to do a team sport.
Yeah.
Whereas his family was like the individual sports, and so they just didn't get it. And I think that's the thing, is sometimes people just might not get it. Like, why do you like going and watching people play footy if you've never played footy, or you know?
Yeah.
It's about just being there with the people. That's very much.
That's what you'd say. I think that's important. Yeah. Really important, not losing yourself in relationships, especially, like, I do think that becomes easier with age, getting older, and you're a bit more sure of yourself, right? But especially when you are that, you know, you were 18 when you first went into that relationship, like, you are just figuring it out, right?
A baby.
And I always say this on this podcast, like, going through, obviously, like, the process of being in high school and going through puberty and all of that stuff is hard, but I think that 18 to 22 is, like, both the hardest and best period of your life almost.
Yes.
Not best. I'm loving my life right now, right? Like, I'm nearly 27. But, you know, like, in terms of that, you don't have the same responsibilities. You're a little bit more free for the most part, and this is general. This is obviously talking from personal experience, but you're also, on another sense, like, you are free and you're like, holy crap, who am I and what am I doing with my life and what's going on?
Yeah. Right?
And you almost sometimes need to be on your own to figure that out.
Yeah.
I was a little bit the same where I moved away when I turned 18, and I had been in a relationship for nearly 4 to 5 years.
Wow.
So from when I was really young, right, I would have been 19 when I moved after high school. I'm born very early in the year.
Yes.
And same thing, I kind of figured, and I'm really happy in the end that I made that decision where I figured, oh, I do need to just probably chill out on my own for a bit and figure out some stuff and live my life a little bit. And then it's a really important time. Not to say, like, if you're in a loving, beautiful relationship, you love the person, you want to be with them forever, great, that is, and there is nothing wrong with being in a relationship at that age. It's just that it's important to have your own stuff too, right? And to not stray from that. I think that's
because there's so many good things that, I mean, probably my core group of friends I would not have if it weren't for that relationship, because we got together in high school and then I started going to, you know, formals and 18ths and everything with all of these people. So I've grown up essentially with people that I met in year 12, and his mum and brother and sister and everything, they were like my family. I actually ran into them last weekend, which is
cute. What are the odds?
Still live, it's a bubble. Yeah. But I kind of think, well, they influenced me in really good ways, and there's actually so many good things that came out of that. But then actually he was in the army for the last year of our relationship, and that was when I was forced to be by myself. And I was like, who am I? Let's go back to who I was and the things that make me. And I was so grateful for that kind of opportunity. And then we kind of, because you do that, you're 18, you finish school, you discover your independence, go to uni. And then, so it was, for me, it was finishing school, starting uni, finishing uni, going into full-time work, all while I was in a relationship. And you kind of grow a bit together and then you can grow a bit apart. And that's natural.
And it's natural, right? Yeah, and that happens. And you're a different person from when you're 18 to 24.
Yeah.
Like you are so, I mean, obviously to your core, you are the same. You've got the same, you can have the same values and blah, 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 blah. But like that growth sometimes changes those other things about you. And it's sometimes hard to move in the same direction as the person that you're with, right? Without completely molding to them or changing things about yourself.
Yeah.
Yes, I really like that advice. I think that's
really
good. Yes. And you know what? You just had no preparation for that question. That was absolutely fantastic. So well done. The next one I'm going to ask you is one that I actually did send you.
Okay, cool.
I was going to change it, but I won't. I'll be nice and I'll be there. A heart happy moment recently for you?
Okay, I feel lucky because I feel like I've had a few.
Oh, that's which is great. We love to hear that.
Yes, it was hard to choose one, but I think that the one I will think about is Boxing Day. We went to the cricket. Once again, I go there not because I care about cricket, because I care about people.
That's great.
And because so my best friend Claudia's boyfriend Joe was over from the UK and he was like, I really want to go to the cricket. And so there were a bunch of us that all went together. So a few of my favourite people. And actually before we left, we had a little mimosa prise at my apartment and my dad came to pick up Rudy for the day.
Rudy the dog.
And yeah, so we were, everyone was just kind of in my apartment having mimosas. It was all these people who were really important to me, seeing each other again, and you kind of still on that Christmas buzz. And it was just so nice. It was just probably half an hour, but I just felt really lucky for it. I was like, this is so great. And it's something that Joe spoke about, you know, your dad, he's so Australian and everything. And then taking, you know, these people around somewhere that's quite important to me, which that sounds so bad. But Dad was like, make sure that you take Joe to the MCC Museum and everything.
Oh, that's cute. It's only tie like sentiment to though, yeah, right? Like you're like, this is, I value this because that's who you've grown up with, going with your dad.
Dad's mum worked there.
Oh, so there's family ties.
So Dad is very attached to it, and Dad's like, take him to the tapestry. We didn't go to the tapestry, but
Dad's like, you know what, don't even worry about it. Yeah, I'm going to take him.
I'll come. He went the next day. But yeah, any time that I get to combine family and friends is a heart happy moment.
That's really lovely. I love how much emphasis you like have put on consistently throughout this entire chat anyways, like the importance of obviously the people that support you. And like it's always so nice to hear about people's friends and family on these episodes. Yeah. Like I think it's just so lovely when people like, you know, I'm really close to my family, or I've got this friend, or maybe it's an auntie or whatever. Like everyone needs that. And I think it is so lovely and I'm sure lovely for the people listening. Maybe if you send this to your dad and then they like feel so good about it too. And that little heart happy moment just keeps traveling along. I think that's really cool.
A connection.
So thank you for sharing that. It's really nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's good. All right. Final question.
Yay.
We're here. You're feeling a bit sad because you actually can't go to the footy one weekend. Mm-hmm. Actually, you know what? You're feeling sad because next Saturday you can't come to the Run Club event. Yeah. a song or songs that get you up when you're feeling down.
Okay. I feel like there is a Fred Again vinyl that I have. Okay. It's the blue one. And
yep, I'm like the blue one.
Like the cool. blue one. I really should have like Actual Life or something like that. But I love putting that on and just dancing around the house with it. I'll dance with the dog, pick him up and dance around.
Rudy's like,
yeah. I don't know that the neighbors love it, but that just, I think there's something about vinyl, the fact that you don't get to necessarily choose the order of it. You just kind of put it on and you get what you get. And yeah, that's, I really like listening to that.
Cool.
Yeah.
So is there any particular songs? Or you said it's called Actual Life.
I think it's called Actual Life.
You know what? I've got a bit of.
Yeah. I, again, End Blue of a Nightmare. Blue. End of a Nightmare is my favorite. Okay. From that. I won't sing it.
It is Actual Life. Oh, you can sing it if you want.
It's okay. Got the mic here.
Like, are you sure you can sing?
Maybe if this was not soft drink, I might.
Like me, spikes everyone's drinks just to get them to sing. Great. It actually is called Actual Life.
Yeah, there you go.
Well done.
Yeah, it's a good one. It's kind of, yeah.
Cool.
Raises the mood.
Love that.
It's great. And it's a good running playlist as
oh,
well.
Oh, banger. Think, okay, yes. Good to know.
Yeah.
Maybe add some tracks onto my playlist.
Yes, definitely.
Good. Well, I will add some songs from that on to the House Your Head Pump Up music. I think that's very exciting. We do have some Fred Again. I think Moth from here suggested a Fred Again song.
Very youthful of me.
Oh, yeah, very young. I know. I'm like, wow, I really haven't gotten around him. I feel like I need to keep my youth, right?
Anything we can.
Holding on, just really holding on.
Yeah.
No, thank you so much coming in today, for taking the time. I know, and I say this at a lot of them, but like you are just taking hours out of your day to come and chat with me, and I can't do this if people don't or are not willing to come and, you know, make that effort. So I do really, really bloody appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
No, you are so welcome. I'm so sorry that I sent you the wrong questions as well. That's never gonna happen again. Hope that doesn't turn anyone away. No, I am so appreciative of everything. So thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Hey team, I hope you enjoyed this episode. It would be a huge help for me and the health classes you missed if you could like, follow, or subscribe wherever you are listening. And of course, if you want to keep learning and stay up to date with me, make sure you come and follow me at the health classes you missed on Instagram or THCYM and How's Your Head on TikTok. I've actually got 2 TikTok accounts now, so make sure you follow both of those to get all of that content. Thanks, guys. See you later.